come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and dude.
Yes.
Yes, and dude.
M-N-N-N-N.
Yes, dude. And ladies.
And ladies, that's right.
And lady.
Lady. I guess, you're right.
Welcome to the show. It's Shock Therapy Live.
Dude.
Steve-O, Teo, Nate.
We're going to spend the bulk of the show talking about the most important thing that happened in the news yesterday, and that is that the Angels took the number two wild card spot as of now.
Man. Here's the deal.
That is the most important news.
The most important news is that you got yourself a coffee and not your wife.
No, that's not important.
Janae, I'm glad you're here. I was going to say that, and then it was like, wait, maybe I should have not.
Oh, no. He went and got himself one. I was like, do you not have two hands?
If I had two hands. That's what that song's about.
They're in the same thing.
One was working ministry.
I have narcolepsy.
One was dissing his bride.
Narcolepsy.
Yeah. Other great song.
Did you guys see the newest Simpsons?
No.
What?
The newest Simpsons.
Where Marge and Homer divorce?
Yeah, but Homer.
When are you watching this?
Last night while you were sleeping in bed.
Okay.
That's good.
Dude, you were like wanting to go to bed all early, and I was wanting to sit in bed and watch TV shows.
This is the thing. It says, you know, when the bride and the groom come together, they are one. And then it also says to not let the right hand know what the left hand's doing.
Yes.
So
what does that even mean?
He can watch The Simpsons.
While she's sleeping.
While she's sleeping.
I like that.
And she doesn't have to know.
Says the woman who watched like half of the third season of Hell on Wheels without me.
Hey, I'm glad you're here.
Great show.
I'm glad you're here, bro.
Great show.
Bro.
So
this is fantastic. Yes. I'm going to bro it up today. I read Superman this morning.
Steve-O's never seen Hell on Wheels.
Never seen
it. Oh, wow.
Great show.
So, but anyways, the Simpsons deal, because that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, sorry. Nate's topic, guys.
So Simpsons, the reason that Marge and Homer are getting a divorce is because Homer gets narcolepsy. And he starts blaming everything and all his laziness and the stuff that he's always done on narcolepsy. So she's like, Homer, will you change the baby's diaper? Narcolepsy. And he like falls down and goes to sleep. She's like, Homer, will you please go out to the store? Narcolepsy. And he just starts blaming everything on narcolepsy.
Yeah.
And so she says, Homer, go to the store and get your medicine for narcolepsy. And he comes back and he smells like beer. And she's like, Homer, were you at the bar? And he says, narcolepsy.
Oh, man.
So that's why I was just I said narcolepsy.
Oh, so just, you're using a Homerism.
Cultural pun. So I'm just trying to be relevant.
Trying to be relevant.
Be cool.
Incredible. Oh, man. You are the new version of Superman. It's amazing.
Tattoos. Can I be cool, too?
Don't do this.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. For those that are just joining us for the first time, because this seems to happen regularly, where we'll get an email later from somebody quite upset. Let's preface it. Shock Therapy Live is a one-hour talk show centered around you, the listener. Maybe you're going through something in your life. Maybe you're struggling with an issue. Maybe you have a friend dealing with something. You don't know how to discuss it. Maybe you watched a movie and you just want to hang out and talk to us. We don't care.
Or maybe your husband forgot to get you a coffee.
Or maybe
and you can't
husband,
let it go.
Exactly. You are bitter like the coffee he is drinking. And so we want to know what's going on in your life. We want to hear from you. You know, well, no, I'm not going to do that on the air. I was going to say, let's just call Sopo and have him bring over. Yeah.
Okay. You know, here's the thing, though. The coffee tastes so good now. It's hard to really...
Facebook.com/star88FM. You can also call us up. We always love to hear your voices. 505-338-3700. That's 338-3700. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, we will accept your emails as well. studio@star88.fm. We like to read them.
Yeah.
We get sensitive emails a lot. So
we got a crazy email, like a fan of ICP who was all mad that we were talking to
them. No, they had never heard of ICP. Like they were a fan of POD. Last week we were talking about POD, Payable on Death, which, side note, when Sonny released Murdered Love, their previous record, and that previous record included an F-bomb, people lost their minds and wrote them off, and the day it released, I called Sonny and said, dude, you should come on the morning show and talk about this. So we know Sonny. We have a relationship with Sonny Sandoval, lead singer of POD. And so I definitely want for anybody who was listening to the show last week or this last weekend is when they heard it to understand we weren't trashing POD. What we were talking about was the fact that they are going out on tour
and I don't think we
insane
ever,
clown posse.
And I don't think we really even in that show said any trashy things about we were really I was more mocking juggalos and insane clowns who
murder
people.
Which is scary because we're going to die.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all that means.
Yeah.
Death to us.
Yeah,
so,
pretty much.
I hope you're okay with that, Janae. You know?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what we're talking about.
No, I don't.
So.
Not at all.
Announced that they were going on tour with Insane Clown Posse, not a Christian artist, for those who have never heard of ICP or Insane Clown Posse, because that's what happened.
Yeah.
They thought we were trashing another Christian ministry.
Yep.
Definitely not a ministry.
Nope,
definitely not. We definitely do not recommend you go check out any of their music.
Mm-mm.
However, if you're like, no, I can't say these things, feel free to discern for yourself whether or not you think it would be a good tour.
You know, don't even look at their music. Just Google Insane Clown Posse.
But
all you have to do, look at a picture of Insane Clown Posse.
But then also know that if that happens, you're probably going to be put on like some FBI list because they're actually genuinely listed on these lists as a cult, like as a gang. They have a true blue like following and they're,
If you've ever had somebody pull a gun on you, the probability is very high that they have a Juggalo sticker on their car.
Yeah, cool. Nate saying all of this, guys. I just want to impress that.
Okay, all I can say is if you guys want the topic to change, let's get some phone calls.
Oh, look at her. Gosh, look at you acting like you've been here before.
Just always in control of it.
I know.
I feel like she just did what wives are notorious for doing. It's like you're watching your TV and she's like, so, can we talk?
Oh, in the middle of Heroes Reborn?
What do you want to talk about?
Well, there was that one thing we talked about.
What you want to talk about?
Night.
What you thinking?
So, Janae, can I ask you a real question? Since we have a wife in studio, as we're talking about these very things, you know, we'd like to discuss marriage. If you're watching a TV show, say the husband's watching a TV show, and then the wife comes in because she's wanting to watch a different TV show, is that the tactic? Is that what you guys use? Like, pretend like you want to talk about something so that inevitably the show gets paused and then we move on to watching, like, I don't know, Castle or something?
Absolutely not. At least not in my book.
Okay.
I'll just come in and say, hey, let's watch
something else. So how come you guys always win when that? How come we just
Janae will this is stupid. I'm going to go to sleep unless you turn on something else.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what she does.
That's manipulation, because of course we want to spend time with our brides.
Well, not if you want to watch a stupid show. That's not spending time with me.
So in turn, we have to watch a stupid show like Grey's Anatomy or something of that sort.
Cool
My wife doesn't watch stupid
shows.
I watch cool shows.
Like, all of her shows are cool.
Like
I love
cool
football.
Shows.
I love baseball. And I love all action movies,
cool. There's not a single show that she watches without me. There was a little while where she liked The Voice, and I wasn't watching The Voice.
Okay,
you know what? The only show that has ever been her show that I hated watching was So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I wish I could dance.
That's
you
it.
I don't think I can dance. I just wish I could dance.
You need to come hang out with us in November. Teo and I are actually emceeing something called the Casa Ball for the city. It's in conjunction with ABQ Heading Home. They raise funds to gift homes to, like, say, a homeless family that's like taking that next step to recovery. Like, oh, they got a job. Now we're going to try and. That's what we're raising funds for. Teo and I are emceeing this event, and it's kind of like it's more of a Dancing with the Stars thing. They get local celebrities partner with professional dancers. We're not dancing. We're just the MCs. But, it's a lot of fun.
That
we got to do
fun.
It last year. So
does that mean who's dancing? Steve?
Is it ballroom
dancing, or is it other dancing?
Like, local celebrities.
Anchor New,
So not Steve Ryman. I was meaning more Weather Steve.
Oh,
wait, is that the guy with the hat or the guy with the smile? Because I hate the guy with the smile. And when I say
hate... You don't hate the guy with the smile. You love him. He's a real Ronchetti, Mark Ronchetti.
When I say hate, I mean I really don't like him. I don't trust him. I don't think he's a good weatherman. And it's all based on his physical appearance.
You stop, right? Nobody knows you're ever sarcastic.
No.
People believe everything you say.
All right.
Yeah, Ronchetti's people are going to call us thinking we're serious.
And he's listening to the show right now crying.
No, he's not.
He just said that.
No.
He's got his rosy red cheeks all happy.
Supposedly, he should be watching the barometric pressure. That's what he should be doing. Here's the thing.
He's watching that and listening to this.
If people are taking me seriously, I don't hate him.
Yeah.
But I do not trust him. I don't think he's a good weatherman. And I don't like him.
Stop it!
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Welcome. It's Shock Therapy Live for a reason. So email us, studio@star88.fm. Or give us a call, 505-338.
Do we have any email questions?
I don't know.
Or
do we have,
or
we have
Facebook?
Well, We got an email question, but it's a lot about like end time stuff. So I wanted to ask you, Nate, do you want to talk about that?
It's kind of Theology Thursday, huh?
That's what I was thinking.
But I could steal it. How many questions does Theology Thursday have for tomorrow?
Like 7.
We have a few.
Oh, dang. They're way more popular than you. I'm sorry.
We do have a few.
I'm sorry.
But it's
that's because we have Brian Nixon, and you can seriously go, Brian, in 1473, let's talk history of the church, and we'll go, oh,
I think I need Brian to
so-and-so of yada yada. And
I think I need Brian to write some more books. I don't know if he's going to be able to do Shock Therapy Live anymore.
You mean Theology Thursday?
Yeah. One of those things.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah, I heard he's going to ghostwrite with me, so I won't be able to do Shock Therapy Live anymore. I'll be sad. Because that's what will happen. If one goes away, the other one will have to.
What is this?
Gauntlet thrown. Shots fired.
Shocks Therapy Live. Welcome to it. Oh, man. No, you know what? Bleeding off of Comics Corner, we were talking a little bit about character. We were talking about the church. And we were relating to what happened, sadly, or oddly enough, in Green Lantern, because that's what we do. It was the idea of when someone falls from grace. And we didn't really get a chance to dive into it. So it would be good to discuss while we're waiting for a phone call. The idea of, you know, when somebody falls, the church is and we're not talking moral failings necessarily. When someone makes a mistake, when someone messes up, Christians have been in the past notorious for writing them off or shooting the wounded or whatever. Let's talk about that. What is the correct response? How are we to act as Christians? Say you see whether it's somebody in the media, because I hear regularly, oh man, that guy that I've never met before. Oh, can't stand that guy because he said this soundbite on 3 seconds of audio
Mateo
on CNN
with his weatherman.
You know what I mean?
I have studied that weatherman and I don't trust him.
How do we respond to culture when it comes to stuff like that? Whether it's something we've just heard offhandedly on the news.
Well, you know, I don't like either way. I think Christians can go two ways with culture and looking at mistakes people make. One, I think that Christians are so quick to say the second they hear some GQ magazine that says this celebrity went to church when he was a kid to go out and say, oh, they're a Christian. They're a Christian. It's like, oh, you have a new mascot or something whenever that happens. And Christians are so eager to claim that everybody in Hollywood is a Christian.
Right.
And in the same sense, we're so quick when one of these so-called Christians fails or falls to cast all the stones at them and say, you know, I can't believe that they did that and how dare they do that. And so I think we kind of go too far in two areas within that. And so I think that, you know, it's important to not just to say that everybody's a Christian the second they thank God at the Grammy Award speech or something like that, but to really look at their life.
That's the first thing I thought of was like P. Diddy thanking God at the MTV Music Awards.
And then it's so funny. If you go on Google and you type in, is blank a Christian, you can find like every celebrity's name that somebody has typed that. Is so-and-so a Christian? And there's always conspiracy theories where it's like, well, they had this song and it said this lyric, and that lyric sounds a lot like this Bible verse, and so I think they're probably going to heaven.
I don't want to overgeneralize this or overstate this, but could it be that to that person doing that, just, you know, making a statement, that maybe, just maybe, Jesus isn't enough? And what I mean by that is we are constantly looking for someone to put on a pedestal, a hero, if you will, a spokesperson of the faith, when really Jesus is the ultimate quote-unquote spokesperson. Like, we don't need, not saying anything against him because I actually really like this guy, Tim Tebow or somebody like that, who are heroes of the faith, if you will, when there are plenty of heroes of the faith that we can look to, whether it be through scripture or scripture.
I think
Do you know what I mean?
I think that might be the case for some people, but I think more You
and
know,
I'm saying
more
it was
frequently.
An overgeneralization.
Yeah, I think more frequently. I think a lot of Christians sometimes want an excuse to like certain music, and I don't know why. Some Christians feel guilty for liking certain music, but they're like, "Oh, if that person might be a Christian, then it's okay for me to like that music, or it's okay for me to like that movie or that movie star."
Yeah,
and I think that happens a lot. And then I think the other thing that happens pretty frequently is that Christians have this mentality and this feeling that a lot of times most Christians aren't cool.
Yeah.
And so I think Christians sometimes want to like go to their non-Christian friends and say, "Oh, you think Christianity's dumb? Well, so and so's a Christian and they're really cool and they're this movie star, or they're this, you know, music star," and they almost want to you know, I think we're tired of being associated with Kirk Cameron and we finally want to like associate with somebody really cool.
Dude, Brian Head Welch.
Yeah.
He did it correctly in my opinion though, cuz I had a few opportunities to, you know, whether it was through interviews or just getting to hang out with them through the Whosoever's movement. He took time away. Hmm. Like, he gave his life to Christ, and then he kind of lost himself in Arizona where no one knew where he was, kind of like Paul, and studied and learned about the faith and grew, and then a year later decided to put out his first record.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, "Man, I got saved. Now I got to write the ultimate Christian record instantaneously." And I think a lot of times that does happen, though. You know, somebody converts and it's like, now we have to put them on this pedestal. They're baby Christians. They don't know what they're doing, but we want to shove them in the limelight and hope that they don't fail, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, what do you think, babe?
I'm just sitting here pondering. I'm just, like, listening to
We met Brian Head Welch in Israel.
Yeah.
He was there when we were there. Remember that? You remember that, babe?
I don't.
That was when he got baptized. Yeah. I remember that. I wasn't there, but I definitely remember that. We were talking about that very thing.
You know, but it is. And then what's sad, though, is that, you know, we're so quick to, again, what you said, put these people on a pedestal. And then the second that they do something wrong, the second that they make a mistake, we're so quick to throw them off that pedestal.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think about my faith and the fact that when I first gave my life to Christ, it's that idea that when we get saved, all of a sudden we are perfect. All of a sudden, we're not going to make any mistakes. I can't imagine giving my life to Christ and then immediately being thrust into the spotlight back then, to where every little thing I did back then was gauged on whether or not I was truly saved. Because people give their lives to Christ, but overnight don't exactly become perfect. That's why we talk about this on Shock Therapy Live a lot. The sanctification process that's going to go throughout our entire lives here on earth. And so when somebody gives their life to Christ and we want to throw them out there on a pedestal, why are we surprised when they fail when we still fall short of the glory? We still fail.
And again, I think the biggest thing, and I heard, it's so funny that I'm using this name, but I heard Justin Bieber say this, you know, is that unfortunately, he was on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Yeah.
And he was talking to the crowd, and Jimmy Fallon was like, "You know, you've had a lot of stuff being in the media, you know, you've made some mistakes." And Justin Bieber's response was, "I'm sure they're probably not a lot different than what everyone else here did when they were my age. Yeah. It's just they didn't happen to be followed around by the paparazzi." You know, and so I think about that mentality, and I think even me, like, imagine if there was conversations that you and I had, or, you know, things that were said in jest that were gotten in a soundbite and put on YouTube, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of people who are, again, to what you're saying, are so quick to dismiss their own sin and point the finger at other people.
I'm going to jump backwards real quick, because you were talking about how people put others on pedestals. I think, at least when I was on the plane going to California, I ran into a gal and we sat and we talked for an hour, and her thing is that the Bible's not relevant. And I think that's where Christians are falling short today. I think Christians are putting other Christians on pedestals, or people that are celebrities or in the limelight on a pedestal, because they want somebody to relate to, and they feel like the characters of the Bible are so far gone, you know, that, oh, that's not today, that they can't relate to me today. The struggles they went through aren't the struggles I go through today.
Right.
And so I think that's why they magnify these other Christians. And when, you know, they slip up or they have faults, which they're human and they're going to have, then it's like, oh, wait, you're not perfect enough. So I think it's a realization that the Bible is real and living today, and mm-hmm. these characters that were in the Bible, although they didn't have technology, although they didn't have everything that we have today, they had the exact same struggles that right. humans have today.
Absolutely.
And so they are relevant, and they are somebody you can relate to. You just actually have to get in the Word before judging the Word.
That's funny, because we, again, we, oddly enough, talked about this as well on Comics Corner this morning. DC Comics has completely changed the persona of Superman because he was, quote-unquote, unrelatable, because he was a Boy Scout, because he did the right thing, he made good decisions, he was older, he had wisdom, and so they've changed his character to this angsty teenager who wears a t-shirt and jeans now instead of flying around with a cape and being Superman. Now he's like, hey, bro, like in this issue,
he was saying, cool.
Yeah, I'm cool, bro, and he's talking to Robin, essentially, and saying, hey, man, let's beat these bad guys up and then go do something that would totally piss off Batman. High five. You know, and I'm
like, what is happening?
And that's why DC is failing
right.
and Marvel is soaring.
And that, but it's that very thing in our culture where we have to change someone's persona because we feel like we can't relate to that situation or that incident or whatever it is. You mentioned Justin Bieber, and we actually had this to talk about today because he was interviewed in Complex Magazine this week. Did you hear about his Taco Bell statement?
No.
It was kind of interesting. He's kind of become yet again like a poster boy for Christianity. I mean, he was at the Hillsong Conference in Australia. Our good old friend Levi was kicking it with him and his crew. And did you guys see that post?
No.
There was a post of Bieber and like right there, two steps behind him in the background, Levi Lusco.
Oh.
So like, you know what I mean? So
yep.
Bieber's become like when he's in New York, he's at Hillsong NYC.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so they asked him about this very thing. Because now they want to know about his faith since he's in the limelight and he's kind of.
I'm waiting for a Hillsong dating show, because Selena Gomez goes to Hillsong LA,
really,
and Justin Bieber goes to Hillsong New York City. So I'm just waiting for Joel Houston and Ben Houston to like play matchmaker and try to get those two back together.
Yeah, that's. Gosh, it would sell. Unfortunately,
it's going to be called Selena and Justin Hillsong of Love.
Okay, wow. Why couldn't you have just called it Hillsong Reunited?
There you go.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Am I right?
Drop
the
mic.
And then Hillsong can do a remix of
later.
Reunited, and Taya Smith can sing it. Can be great.
Guys, I have great news.
Yeah.
We have a question.
But I wanted to finish this Bieber. Okay, that's fine. I got quotes from
we
Bieber about
segue,
his faith.
Otherwise, I'll say negative things.
Go ahead. Let's hit the question.
Okay, it's a long question.
Hillsong Reunited.
I think it's a great
mic
concept.
Mic drop.
Hashtag. So, how do you find the balance between accountability and grace? I have a friend who has a drug addiction and is still struggling with that addiction. He has moments where he really does try to focus on Jesus, but then he turns back to what his struggle is as a leader. Or as a leader, I haven't tried to support him and love on him and be there for him. I have also confronted him with the issue, but there is the hard part of him playing on our worship team. I don't have any control of that. Gosh, this is so hard to read. That is someone else who controls, who plays, and who doesn't. The leader is well aware of his struggle, but does nothing for it. I am told we are true, love him, and support him. What is it wrong can let him keep playing on the worship team and still do drugs?
So essentially, this is a player on a worship team
yeah.
who...
He says, I understand the difference between struggling with sin and blatantly turning their back on God, and this young man only plays because he is asked. He leaves right after he plays, so he does not stay for the service. He's late a lot of times, and his heart just isn't there. How would you go about confronting him in all this? I've called him out on it. I'm not being here, but he doesn't care, and he is still encouraged to play. I think he left a few words out. It's on Facebook.
This is like threefold, the idea of accountability versus grace, if you guys want to tackle that. I immediately thought of the fact that there are... You know, because
and then
we run in musician yeah. circles. I know a few churches in town that hire musicians before
yeah.
they hire, so that there are rotating musicians that go to different churches that don't necessarily even attend the church, who are just paid hired guns, if you will.
Yeah, you know, and I can only say what we do here at Calvary.
There you go.
At Calvary, we place more of an emphasis on character than we do on gifting. Mm-hmm. And if your gifting ever outweighs your character, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And so we've frequently had people within within ministries here at Calvary who we find out something's going on in their life. Either they're in a relationship they shouldn't be in, or they're abusing a substance, or even they're, you know, doing things just around town that don't bring glory to Christ.
Yeah.
And when that happens, we lovingly sit down with them. We talk to them about what's going on, and we remove them from ministry for a time and let them know the reason we're doing that is to seek restoration. We're not just impunitively removing them from ministry to hurt them. We're doing it because we care for them. We want to see God's best for their lives, and that we're committed to the process of helping them through that. And we've seen God do great things through that. You know, for a lot of people, they need that wake up call, like, oh man, like, I didn't realize that this could happen.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, they realize that, and sometimes they need a month to just, you know, sit on it and think about it. But we've seen God do some great things through that.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, I think with this idea of accountability and grace, you know, I think that Christ is the perfect example of that. Because to me, Christ had grace, but at the same time, every time that Christ had grace on somebody, he called them out of the lifestyle they were living. He didn't just allow them to continue on within that. He called them out to a better life.
Yeah.
And so I think that we need to keep that in mind when we're addressing people, kind of this mindset that Jesus had, where it said that there was many who believed in him, but Jesus did not give himself to them because he knew what was in them.
Yeah.
And so I think that Jesus had this perfect balance of accountability and grace.
Yeah.
And so I think that within this situation, if this is a guy that you know, this is a guy that you have a relationship with, I would offer to disciple him. I would offer to meet with him on a weekly basis. I've done this with a lot of people when I see something's going on in their life. Instead of just saying, hey, you need to stop doing that, my response is usually, hey, would you like to start meeting together once a week and, you know, talking about what God's teaching you in your life and giving that opportunity to invest into them, to pour into them.
Yeah, I was going to say it depends on their relationship. So I'm glad you touched on that, because if you are a critic and you're like, oh, we're friends, we're buddies, and you just point out what he's doing wrong, but he doesn't give ear to it, you just don't have a voice in that guy's life. So really it does depend on the relationship. You do have to reach out in love, like Nate said, and ask him to possibly meet regularly and go through the Bible together, go through a book or whatever it is, to kind of ask if he wants and needs that accountability. You can't give someone advice if they're not giving ear to it. So you'd be talking to a wall. Doesn't mean you can't love them, doesn't mean you can't reach out to them, but it does mean that they're not going to adhere to what you have to say unless you gain that relationship with them.
Yeah. Dude.
Now in response, because there's another issue that he brings up there.
What,
and that is
leadership
that,
or?
That is that, you know, he this guy who wrote in this question has tried to be there for him, tried to confront him on it. And he also leads worship, or he plays worship, and the leader of the worship department, I would assume, knows that he's struggling with this, but isn't doing anything to address it or confront him on it. And so, you know, what would you say within that of how would you approach the worship leader and say, hey, dude, you got to do something about this. This isn't cool.
Well, Janae was about to ask Siri, so...
Yeah.
Ask Siri.
Siri wanted to chime in, so she was, you know...
Man, it's here's the thing... Because we're getting it like third hand. We don't know this ministry leader, whether or not they know that what they said was that they have a basic understanding, right? That he's got a problem, but they don't really know the situation. Or...
It doesn't say that. It says here's the hard part. He plays on the worship team, and I don't have any control of that. That is someone else who controls who plays and who doesn't. The leader is well aware of his struggle and does nothing for it.
Man.
I'm told we are to love him and support him.
Man.
I would maybe call that leader to coffee or sit, and don't say, hey, I think you're leading incorrectly. I would just say, hey, I'm really concerned, and I don't think... you know, Johnny serving on the ministry or serving in the band is even benefiting him. Is there something that you could do maybe as his leader, if you could reach out to him and disciple him or guide him or help him or keep him accountable as the leader? So maybe approach it from that perspective rather than, hey, what you're doing is wrong and you're just promoting his sin.
Right, because we don't know if that's the case. We don't know whether or not... I know it was third hand from the friend saying, well, he leaves right after. He's not really staying for the service. He's doing this. He's not really doing that. But we don't really have an understanding of this guy's quote-unquote struggle. Is he just blatantly just getting high all the time with disregard for God's word? Or is this truly an addiction where he's struggling with something, so maybe the leadership is well aware of it and they understand, and hammering this guy who's fighting a drug addiction maybe isn't the best approach? So it's hard. I don't want to interject without having an understanding of the situation. I do think if the leadership is well aware and this guy is blatantly disregarding scripture and saying, well, you know, bro, just let me live my life. God made the green and so I'm going to smoke, whatever it is that he's doing, you know, that's something entirely different. But if this guy truly has an addiction and they're working with him and, you know, he, in his opinion, they're not doing anything, but really, you know, they're kind of going through stuff with him, I'd have a hard time saying, well, you gotta call this out and, you know, hammer this guy.
Yeah, you know, one more thing that I would just add to that. I would say it sounds like it's the worship leader or the worship director who is the one who's kind of turning a blind eye to this. I would say another option would be to go to the senior pastor and just let the senior pastor know, hey, I just want to let you know there's this guy. I know him. I know what's going on. He's struggling with drug addiction. I don't think he should be on stage, but I wanted you to be aware of it. Yeah. And then at that point, at least, you've done everything that you can to protect the flock. Because, you know, part of the reason why you don't want this to go on is this guy's seen on stage, and then let's say he's seen on the street and he's seen, you know, doing drugs or buying drugs or, you know, getting drunk. That can have a damage on the body of Christ and on the flock. And so at that point, at least, if you go to the senior pastor, you've done everything that you can to protect the flock, and then you're leaving it up to the senior leadership and to the pastor of that church to do what he feels best, and that's all you can do.
Man, there you go. Thanks for the Facebook question. If you would like to chime in, facebook.com/star88fm. Maybe something you're hearing has spawned a thought in you. Maybe you've dealt with this in the past and you'd just like to give some insight. That's cool as well. Or, you know, change topic. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Let's go to line one. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
How you guys doing today?
Doing well. How you doing?
Not too.
You are cutting
your
out.
Opinion?
You're cutting in and out.
You're cutting in and out there.
All right. How about this?
Okay.
Okay. I'm calling in today.
Sweet. No better. Did we lose
you? Did we lose you?
Awesome.
Well, I can tell you this. His question was about kind of like getting a little older and still no wife or whatever. And so he just had a question about how you go about, like, is it okay to use different things? Like, you know, you wait on God and you wait on God and you wait on God. Is it okay to start using, like,
Christian Mingle?
Which he said was a sham anyway, because it's like $40 a month, which I had no idea Christian Mingle was like $40
a
month. She better be awesome. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm kidding. But just different things.
Man,
like,
I wish
even
we could talk to him.
Even to like apps and stuff like that, you know?
Well,
I can't say that it works every time, but I have known and I have heard of Christians in the church who met their spouse through, you know, an online dating site. So I don't know if that works all the time, but I know that it can work.
I would be, gosh, I wish you could call back. Because my question is, define waiting on God. Are you literally sitting at home playing video games, reading comic books, hoping that the doorbell's going to ring and some hot chick's going to be there like, the Lord told me to come to you and here I am. I am your bride. You know?
Wow.
Dude, it's true.
She sounds beautiful.
Thank you.
She sounds so beautiful.
There are so many instances where it's been like, bro, I'm in my 30s, dog, and I'm still single, and the Lord hasn't provided that lady. And it's like, well, what are you doing to, like, get yourself out there? You know what I mean? I don't mean to get yourself out there in that regard of, like, going to the clubs. But I think for dudes, a lot of times, you just want to hang back and expect that God's going to magically bring this girl to your front door. And so I would actually just want to know the definition of waiting on God. What are you actively doing? What if are you out doing ministry with people? Are you meeting people?
If he's wanting to resort to going on Christian dating websites, I would assume he's at least tried to find a girl at his church, because I wouldn't assume that it would be like just, you know, waiting on God if he's like, man, should I go to dating websites, you know?
Yeah.
To me, somebody who's at that point where they're like, you know, I haven't been able to meet a girl that I like or that I get along with, is it okay to try dating websites?
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't seem like he's that guy who's like, I'm just waiting for God to bring me somebody.
Yeah. Okay, so in both instances, what do you do? Janae, from the female perspective, let's say you're in your 30s and you're quote unquote waiting on the Lord, you're still single. Is it acceptable, like if you don't feel that calling to singleness your whole life, is it acceptable to hit up a dating website or
I think so.
A singles ministry?
I think so. I mean, for girls, let's be honest, it's going to be a little bit hard. I think it's like 100-1 men versus women. So
oh, cool.
He should have some better luck, but who knows what town he's in. He might be in a really small town and there's no single ladies. Yeah. So I think it does depend on where you currently are. It depends on who you hang out with. Maybe you have all friends who have couples and they don't have single friends. So yeah. I don't think it's wrong to go on a site. I don't think it's wrong for a woman or a man. I think there needs precautions.
Yeah.
You need to be careful because a lot of people can lie on the internet.
and I think
you have to be careful.
That's what I would say. I think it's okay. But the one thing with a Christian dating website is a lot of times a Christian dating website can become like a Christian booty call website where it's like, hey, you know, I'm single and ready to mingle and I'm also a Christian. So let's hook up. And, you know, at least we can sleep a little bit better at night knowing that we didn't do it with a non-believer. So I don't know. I think that's what it can become.
Wow.
And so I think you got to be careful to not let it be that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you got to be really careful in that situation to not – we've talked about this before. I need, therefore I love.
Well, and I think also with
phone
with
lines
website,
are jammed, by the way,
right? With the website dating.
Oh my gosh, you're talking about my website.
Yeah.
Well, I think you would have to bring a buddy, especially for a woman. If you're going online and you find somebody that's interesting, I think it's very vital and important to double date the first time because you don't know who that person is. I mean, you can say whatever you want online.
Right. No, absolutely.
Be like, oh, I'm a stud and I'm so good looking and sweet and I love Jesus. And then you see him and you're like, ah.
Right.
I'm a pastor of a 10,000 person church and I work out every day.
Amazing. Amazing. We're going to go to line one because I believe it's the dude. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Nothing. I just wanted a fair opinion since there was a woman in the room today.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So
yes.
Here's the deal. We've been talking about
this
topic. She is
not single.
The idea of waiting on the Lord. So my question was, what is your definition of waiting on the Lord? What have you been doing? Have you been doing anything actively to seek out someone?
Oh, by all means, just like how Nate said, you know, whether it's asking or worship or not worship, but ministry, meeting people in that realm at church or whatnot all the time. And then when it comes to actually, hey, would you like to go out on a date or whatnot? Every girl in the church, I don't know what it is. They don't ever want to go out. So that's why I was just like, all right, so let's try other avenues where people are going there for that purpose, you know?
Yeah.
As far as whether it's Christian Mingle, Plenty Fish of the Pier, whatever, and I mean, the majority of them are costing you money. And I'm like, you're not even going to pay for the first date or guarantee me that.
I think it's totally fine, you know, at that point to look into some Christian dating websites, you know, because to your point, I mean, the hope, again, you're hoping that everyone has pure motives going there, but the hope is that everybody who's going to Christian Mingle is a Christian and is somebody who's looking to start a serious relationship. So I think, you know, within that, you just got to go into it, again, with this mentality of guarding your heart. You know, I think with some of those Christian dating websites, I think sometimes the first one can be a charm, but I think sometimes you kind of got to go through, you know, a few, like, okay, they're not who they said they were, or it's not what I was looking for, but at least it opens up the opportunity option. And so, you know, it is expensive, but if you kind of had a tough time meeting the right person at church, you know you're not finding that connection, I think it's definitely a better place to start than like match.com, you know,
of just,
you know, Yeah, so definitely not Tinder. But I think that that's a good place to start. Again, I would just say guard your heart and go in there with with the right motives and wait for within that
cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, don't be hasty. Like the first person that messaged you, like, oh my gosh, it's the one. You know what I mean? Wait, really allow God to show you that right person and make sure that they really do have a strong walk with the Lord and they're not just a cultural Christian who they've tried the other dating website. And they're like, maybe I'll find a good guy on Christian Mingle.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Well, it's because I'm as old as Steve-O, so we're pretty old.
Oh, dang, dude.
Oh, amen. Man.
It's
amen.
So funny that you say that because, yeah.
I think he had someone else say that to him this week, too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's almost a grandparent.
But it was so much better when Dave Grohl said it. So
the only thing I got left to look forward to is, Social Security. It'll probably be gone by the time I get it.
That's very true. Yeah, good luck with that. I'm not counting on that in any regard.
Well,
so.
You might get enough to pay for Christian Mingle through it.
True. Investing in the future.
There you go.
You guys have a great day.
You too, man.
Oh, man. Phone lines are jammed. We're going to go to line two. Speaking of old, dude, I'm not kidding. You might have noticed, for the last 25 minutes, I've been kind of, looking at you weird. It's not because I'm looking at you weird. It's because when I turned my head to look at you, I seriously think I threw my back out. I'm in so much pain right now. I can't breathe.
Dude.
Oh. I'm old.
I broke my toe the other night.
Anyways, yeah, it's been bad.
What happened?
I don't know!
It was the rock concert. You can't go to concerts anymore.
I can't. I'm so
seriously,
old.
Was. You can't stand at concerts anymore.
Joey Belleville, a decade ago at an Echoing Green show, is rocking out on stage and totally had to get back surgery after that because it was oh crap, I'm old now. Oh!
Janae and I came to that realization the other day. We're like, we're totally okay realizing that we're in an age now where we don't feel compelled to stay for the entirety of concerts or even for half of concerts.
Yeah, lots of pain. Okay. Sweet.
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Okay. All right. Damn.
Yeah, but you do CrossFit.
He does CrossFit, so he'll, he's going to be like this when he's 90.
Guys, I've been alive for hundreds of years. How do you think I
His
keep it up?
His nickname is Lestat. He is a vampire.
I was just thinking that.
Let's go to line two. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
What's up from Denver?
Yes!
How's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
Yo.
Man, I love you all so much.
Love
I
you too.
Just wanna, okay, before I get into my question, which is something we brought up in class the other day, and I kind of lost my temper, so we'll put it on hold. Want to give a shout-out to the last dude. You know what? If your ratios are bad down there in Albuquerque, come up here to Denver. I was single when I came up here. Now I got three girlfriends. Great.
Oh, no. Horrible advice. Sir, previous caller, don't yield to this guy.
Although Denver is a beautiful
Denver.
City. Denver is beautiful.
City with beautiful
people.
Great.
Yeah. It's pretty great. Also,
move.
If you need to go to a concert, find people who have similar tastes tonight. The Lone Bellow is in town. I'm going to go see them again.
Oh, legit, man. Legit.
They're legit to quit. They, gosh, MC Hammer.
So does that mean if you want to, does that mean if you want a Christian girlfriend, you got to go to Hillsong concerts?
Yes.
Don't go to an ICP concert, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. All them gang members, the feds will just be like, what's up? Come follow us, get in the car. So here's my question that I was going to maybe toss out tomorrow, but I thought maybe today would be a little better.
All right.
Sitting in seminary yesteryear, and we're talking about Exodus 1, all right? And story is these midwives, right? Now, all these Hebrews hanging out in Egypt, and the midwives are delivering these babies, like they do.
Right.
And Pharaoh's like, we got to kill the little boys, man. We got to get rid of these guys. Midwives take care of it. And then they don't do it. The midwives are like, I don't want to do that. And they go back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's like, y'all, why aren't you killing the little boys? And the midwives are like, well, you know, us Hebrew women, we just push them out. By the time we get there, it's already done. And you can't do that if it's already done. Like, Hebrew women just too fast. They birth really well.
Right.
And that's literally what it says in the Bible, just slightly different.
Slightly different.
This has been my best. Can you just do an audio Bible?
Yeah. Can you do an audio Bible?
You have fixed Steve-O's back with your wonderful
story. That's essentially what happened, right? That's essentially what happened.
Oh, man.
So we're sitting there in class, and Dr. Such and Such of theology, he poses the question. He goes, first question was, is it okay to tell a lie that you didn't show up and do this if you're protecting the people of God? Because right after that, right after the last little midwife lie, says that God blesses him for protecting the people. It's like, okay, okay. Can you tell a lie while protecting the people? Because very clearly, like, midwives, they're strong. They can run. They got there in time. They're just not telling Pharaoh that. So, but the second question was kind of the one I want to toss out to y'all. And the question was, the idea behind it was that Pharaoh is trying to get rid of all these boys because you got a ton of Hebrews in your country and different ethnicity, different spiritual background, and he's worried about folks rising up against his empire. I get that, okay. The question was, how do we treat foreigners? How do we, as the church, as Christians, treat foreigners in, and foreigners in quotations, whatever foreigner means? I think there's some ethnic implications. I think there's some social and political and maybe even moral choice implications. But how do we treat foreigners in our society and in our churches? And I think that's kind of an interesting take. And
you know what?
Well, we definitely don't tell the midwives to kill them.
Yes, my immediately thought, and then I'm going to pass it on to the pros. Is this? I love Foreigner. Foreigner 4 was a staple when I was like 5 years old. It was my dad's favorite record.
This is why your back hurts.
Okay, I want to know what love is.
No, yeah, for
I want
sure.
You to that was yesterday. I mean, I'm just saying, Foreigner. I'm all about Foreigner,
show, man.
And I just say in
response.
And I just say in response to Trump, that famous worship song, "Tear Down the Walls." Na, na, na,
na. Janae, how do you treat foreigners? I'm just kidding.
I love them. Love their accent.
No, I hear what you're saying, though. You know, I was watching. I was watching an interview yesterday with Dr. Ben Carson and. One of the CNN dudes. I don't remember his name. My least favorite guy. And
that Blitzer, man.
Bob Costas?
My second least favorite guy.
Steve-O loves Bob Costas.
Bob Costas. Not Bob Costas. The other guy. So, and it was because of what Dr. Carson said about Muslims running the country, about a Muslim president, and, you know, and he was trying to talk about, like, the different laws and the different tenets of Islam. And the guy was just like, "No, bro, you're a minority. You're African American, and you're a Seventh Day Adventist. You understand being a minority. So how come you're trashing Muslims, bro? You know, I'm giving the bro version of the CNN interview, but
that's great. We should record a Bible
It was
together,
just
so.
There you go. We'll record it together. It was just unreal because as he's trying to talk about this people group, you know, in our culture, it's become like, oh man, we got to be so PC. We got to be so careful. But on the flip side. We do need to treat everyone with respect. And so you pose a very interesting question of, well, how do we do that? And I think different situations call for different things. Because what he was talking about very specifically was the tenants and the way they treat women and the different crazy, crazy kill white people tenants that they have and very specific things.
And kill Hebrew people.
We try and, but we're like overgeneralizing. So I would say.
They're like killing Hebrew babies.
Right. So we're talking about a time period where they're killing Hebrew babies. Yeah, we're going to protect our culture. We're going to protect God's people because, one, we're called by God. Like these midwives are called by God to do this very thing. So they're going to listen to the heeding of the Lord over, say, oh, but I want to be PC, even though Pharaoh's straight murdering my dudes, you know, like,
straight murdering my dudes.
I think it's really difficult to we tend to overgeneralize that situation. Like if, look, an Asian guy walked into church, how do I interact with him? You know, it's like, what do you mean?
And that's the hard part.
He's a human being.
Kind of why, you know, we're within this, because what I would say is, you know, what your professor posed to you, this moral dilemma, to me is so far different. It's like, okay, we're comparing, you know, a time period when literally these Hebrew babies were being murdered to, okay, well, what do we do when we have immigrants coming into New Mexico?
Right.
To me, it's so different. I would say there's more of a correlation between what that professor posed to you would be to say, comparing that to Holocaust Germany.
There you go.
Jewish people being murdered. That's a more comparable situation.
There was an overgeneralizing presupposition that we have that we're disparaging against foreigners in the church.
Correct.
Yeah. And I don't think that's the case necessarily.
Now I think there are some, but I wouldn't just say it's it's the church. I would just say there's some in America today who are disparaging to foreigners. And I don't think that's okay. You know, I think it's okay to politically say that we don't feel that we should be subsidizing them, and that I'm a firm believer that they should do it legally.
Yeah.
Now, I recognize there's times, because again, you say that and say, well, what about the Syrian refugees? Okay, I'm not comparing their situation to America's situation.
Right.
I think there's a time when there's an oppressed people that we should help them, and we should allow them to come in to help them and to nurture them. But there's a difference between that and truly certain people who are playing the system. And so I think that we have to be really careful not to compare one situation to the next. But I think there is a very biblical mentality of taking each situation personally, like Jesus. You know, Jesus dealt with each person individually, and he dealt with the situation. He didn't generalize and say, okay, well, you know, I helped out this woman at the well, and so I'm going to do the same with you because it seems pretty similar. You know, he dealt with his situation differently.
Well, because he looked at him as a human being rather than a nationality.
And so I think that's what we need to do.
Preach.
That's it. He didn't look at their nationality. He looked at the human being. This person has a soul. As C.S. Lewis said it, you are a soul. You have a body. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. So he looked at this soul and said, hey, check out that soul. He didn't look at that person and say, oh, that's a Samaritan. Oh, that's a...
Even within that, Jesus spent the bulk of his time, you know, preaching to the spiritual condition of people. He really didn't spend any time criticizing how Rome ran the area you know, politically how they were running, the provinces of Israel and of Jerusalem.
Right.
He didn't spend his time doing that.
No.
He spent his time approaching the spiritual condition of people. And so I think we need to do the same.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
My focus, you know, as immigrants come into the country, into our city, into our state, is to focus more on their spiritual need. And to focus on the fact that, you know what, they need Jesus just as much as the person next to me who was born here.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I think we fall in the same little area.
Okay.
One other thing that you brought up that I'd love to hit on, because I think it's very fascinating, more than even the conversation about nationalities, is the concept of lying. You know, that these Hebrew women lied, and is that okay? Is there ever a time that it's permissible to sin in the name of something else? And the first thing I thought of when you brought up that was Nazi Germany, was people, Christians, who hid Jewish people and lied in order to save those lives.
Yeah.
And in that circumstance, you know, at what point does a sin become okay? And that, I think that's a very fascinating question to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the idea of we've talked about this previously, but I think it's been a while. The idea of life on the line versus saving your own skin. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like just trying to get out of something. And
it happens today
too. Lord.
You know, there's underground church in a lot of other countries that are persecuted that they will hide. They can't be public and boldly say, hey, I'm a Christian and I'm going to put my stake in the ground. If you don't like it, because literally, if they don't like it, they'll be murdered.
Right.
And so, you know, the pastors have to have underground church and have to lie and have to, you know, keep it a secret so that the people don't get murdered.
We were just recently at Faith Comes by Hearing, an amazing ministry here in Albuquerque that is global. They take translations of the Bible, they make recordings of those translations and send them out to the far reaches of our globe. And there are areas that they couldn't even, talk to us about because it's not acceptable. So they were showing us these technologies that they have to kind of get around the system, if you will. I mean, we know that there are many people smuggling Bibles into other areas as well. So they are breaking the law, doing something illegal, but they are doing it for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So,
right.
But then here's the question. Nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not smuggle Bibles.
Yeah.
But it does say thou shalt not lie.
Yeah.
And so we've talked about that before. But thou shalt not
commit murder either. And they were straight up going to murder people. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
So, no, and I, this is the thing. I agree. I firmly believe, man, the sanctity of human life, I'm going to protect human life at all means necessary.
Amen.
So
yeah.
I'm definitely not saying I'm on the stance of, well, I think they should tell the truth and just see what God
see
does.
What happens.
See what That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think it is a good conversation of, you know, at what point do we as human beings make that call?
And those of us, we talked about this morning in the 7 o'clock hour. our boy Stephen Colbert. I haven't watched a single episode of Late Night.
Oh, it was so good, yeah.
I haven't watched a single episode. He had a really interesting conversation where he was discussing his faith, and he made a comment about how he is a fool for Christ. And his definition was really interesting because he said what makes him a fool for Christ is anyone who is a fool for Christ is someone who goes against the cultural norm or standard or, you know, he had a few different things. But at the end of it was because of guided by or because of moral conscience, but he didn't end there. Guided by the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Yeah. Stephen Colbert. And so it was
like,
boom. That's
why I eat his Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Stop it right now. But in all honesty, I think we like to talk about these things, and it's always fun to talk about these things, but I truly believe in that moment, you are guided by the Holy Spirit. If you are walking in step with God and what he has called you to do, his Spirit will guide you into that truth, into what you're to do. So if you're standing in front of Nazis who are like, hey, man, got any Jews in your basement? You know, I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit was with these people saying, hey, do this. There have been plenty of times where I have not known what to do in a situation. All of a sudden, I'm like, where did that scripture come from? And God just kind of like pours out of me. So we can talk about it because we're not in the middle of a situation where there's a gun at our head. But I truly believe that if we are following the guidance of the Lord, of his word and his Spirit, then he'll lead us to that truth in that
moment. Well, and I love how you said, if it's saving lives or is it saving my own skin? And that is simply put, and it's so straightforward. It's like,
so we didn't need to have this 10-minute conversation.
Right.
I said that in the beginning.
Is this to benefit myself or is this to benefit the kingdom and protect God's people?
That's a good point because, you know, to that same point, Abraham made a bad move by lying to the king when he came to the city and said, oh, this isn't my wife, this is my sister.
Right.
And he lied to save his own skin, and he was not rewarded for it. You know, it was considered a fault against him.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, you could say, well, he was just trying to save, you know, his life, but, you know, he lied and it was considered a fault. So I think it varies on the situation. I think it varies on, you know, what the motives are for it.
Yeah. Dude.
Well, think about it. Even if you were held at gunpoint and they said, are you a Christian? Are you saving your own skin by denying God? And then the consequences of that, you know? So even when it comes to that situation, I still feel like, okay, you might lose your life, but you'll gain eternity.
Boom. To live is Christ, to die is gain.
Damn.
I said that really ominous.
That was great.
Willie, we love you, bro. Thank you for the call. We are so out of time. It's unreal. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at star88.fm. Until tomorrow, Steve on Channel 9.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
The statements expressed on Shock Therapy Live by hosts, guests, or call-in listeners are solely opinions. They are not intended to be medical or psychological counseling. There are no licensed counselors present, and suggestions given on this program are non-clinical opinions of those who express them. If you are in need of professional help, please seek medical assistance. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the position of Star 88 staff or management or of Calvary Albuquerque.